And we'll turn, please, to the book of Titus, chapter number 2. Titus, chapter number 2. Just a small little book of three chapters after the book of 2 Timothy, just before the book of Philemon, but be the book of Titus, chapter number 2. I want to read just a few verses at the end of the chapter here. The Lord has put on our heart and stirred in our heart, and pray that we can be a help and a blessing to you this morning as you would pray for us, that the Lord would touch us and help us today. Titus chapter 2, when you found your place, if you're able and willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. I want to begin reading in verse number 11. Read through the end of the chapter this morning. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to preach this morning, if the Lord would help me, for just a few minutes out of these few verses that we read this morning out of Titus chapter 2, on where the Apostle Paul is writing here and instructing this young man who, much like Timothy, Paul calls him in verse number 4 of chapter 1, his own son after the common faith. And he's writing to him and instructing him, and he makes the statement in verse number 12 that's been working in my heart, in this present world. That's what I want to preach on this morning, if God would be my helper, for just a few minutes, on in this present world. I thought, and the Lord began to work in my heart about this present world and about what it is that we are seeing going on in our day. I thought about our present world, and there are many things that we could say about the days and the hours that we're living in. It's already been brought up about the last days and of the perilous times, and certainly we can look around, and anybody that has any part of discernment about them, any at all, would understand that we are living in the last days. Matter of fact, the Bible classifies the last days ever since the church was established and the Lord ascended back. They wrote about the last days. Paul, in his day, wrote about the last days. It was mentioned in revival in one of the messages Brother Yoke read from Hebrews chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul, if you have the opinion that he wrote the book, I don't know that it really matters, but the writer said that the Lord had in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. And so we are desperately and most definitely in the last days in our day. But I thought about this present world. There's so much that we could say about our present world. I'm glad this morning to know that in a present world there is a present God. And the fact that He still is, and He is God, and He always will be. I don't know how much longer that the world will last, but as long as the world lasts, past and beyond the end of the world. I'm glad there'll be a God that's able to help us. He made us the promise that He would never leave us and never forsake us, but He would go with us all the way, even to the end of the world. And so in this present world, there is a present God. But I thought about this present world. I thought this present world that we're living in, that we could take our common sense and our understanding of the Word of God and look around and find out that this present world that we're living in is a world of darkness. It doesn't take much to figure that out. And it always has been that way with man. Man, apart, and I'm just trying to preach that on my heart, and I was reading and studying, and the Lord began to stir in my heart in this place, not just sitting there, really in my heart. I had church all by myself. And I hope this morning that we can lay aside whatever may stand in our way, whatever hindrances there may be, and we can just have church today, because I believe that God wants it to be so. And I believe He wants to help us and encourage us and strengthen us in this present world. Mankind apart from God has always and will always remain in darkness. The Bible said in the book of John, talking about the Lord, that He was the light of the world, but men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil, and they would not come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. And so it is an inherent nature of man to remain in the darkness. That is how man operates. That is the natural form of man. And in this present world that we are living in, it is a world of darkness. The Bible spoke about the fact that the God of this world, and there is a God of this world, there is a prince and the power of the air. And it said that He hath blinded the minds of them, lest they should come to the light, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. So we're living in a world of darkness. In the world that we're living in the power of this world, it doesn't take much to figure out and understand that the forces that are at work in this world are against the light. They are working toward the darkness. So this present world that we're living in is a world of darkness. I thought about this present world that we're living in is a world of deception. That many think that wrong is right and that right is wrong, and they can't see the difference. And the reality of the fact, and you can label me what you want to label me and fall out with me, but I don't think you will, is the fact that this present world that we're living in is a world of depravity. Mankind is inherently depraved. The word depraved, if you will look it up, you will agree with me, it means that there is no good in man. But we live in a day that there's so much deception that they want to go against that and teach that mankind is inherently good. He just needs to be part of a good society or be a member of a good church, and then the goodness in man will come out. But Jesus said there's none good, no, not one. The word depraved means without help. Mankind cannot, apart from God, cannot help himself. But we live in a day of deception where they say, just do this and it'll be okay. We live in a day where they say all the self-help books and the self-help clinics and all of these programs, and I understand that they may have their place, but I'm telling you that mankind has no help apart from God. We cannot help ourselves. We cannot get ourselves out of the state that we are in. If man was ever able in his own power to get himself out of the state that he's in, then Jesus would have never had to come. But no man, no matter how good that the light may show him, no man has ever helped himself out of the situation he's in. So we live in that world, this present world of depravity. We live in this present world where many are deceived, and Paul wrote to Timothy that in the last days evil men and seducers would wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we're seeing it all over. Where they think that noise, we just might as well get down to where we are living in our day. And in this place where we live, in our part of this present world, we're living in a day where they think noise equals God. And they've been convinced and deceived into that being so. That if they can make enough noise, then it must mean that God is in the house. It doesn't. They think that if there's a commotion going on, or their emotions can get affected, or their mind is affected in the service, then it must be God. But that doesn't mean it's so. It's part of the deception of our day. A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We have preachers so-called all across our nation this morning that are standing, and they have no intentions from the get-go of ever trying to preach by the help of God to reach the heart of a man. For there is no man, no matter how educated or qualified or how good his outline may be, no man without the help of God can reach the heart of an individual. We have plenty across the nation that are satisfied. Now, I'm not judging them. That's between them and God. But I'm just preaching the reality of this present world. They are content and satisfied with never affecting the heart so long as they can affect the mind. I'm going to tell you, the work of God, it's not a work done in the mind. That's the problem of our day. Many people have a head knowledge, but they never have a heart knowledge of God. And the old preacher said, a message born in the mind will only ever affect the mind. But a message born in the heart by the help of God will affect the heart of man. And that's what we need in this present world, is God to work on the hearts of men and women. This present world is a world of doom. I'm just preaching how God put it on my heart last night. I know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that this is from Him, and maybe it's supposed to be sober, and we'll try to get somewhere after this. I'm just trying to give it to you. Hey, give it to me. And what I mean by that is judgment is looming on this world. Paul stepped off the shore at Athens that day and observed the people. And they had their monuments and their idols and their altars and their inscriptions and all sorts of God. And he said, as I noticed in the midst of it all, there was an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. And in their mind, they were just trying to make sure they hadn't missed anybody. They had made altars to all kinds of gods. And that's where we have come in our day. And I'm not trying to preach on social media or on current events. But I'm telling you, if you watch anything lately, you would understand that that's how the world is. They feel like all these little g gods are inclusive with our God. But as it was in Elijah's day, there's not but one God. And Paul said, he whom therefore you ignorantly worship, I'll declare him unto you. And Paul began at the beginning and preached that God was creator and maker of all things, and that God was the Savior of the world. And he said in times past, he winked at your ignorance because you were not a people. But he said now, in these last days, he has commanded all men everywhere to repent. And he said, because he hath appointed a day. I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you're not saved, there is a day in God's calendar when it's all going to be over. And Paul preached it all them hundreds of years ago, and God has been merciful and God has been long-suffering, and here we are in 2020, but the day on the calendar's not changed, but there's still a day appointed that Paul said he will judge the world in righteousness. He didn't say anything, and I understand that it's in the book, it's in the Word of God, that there'll be a judgment for the people of God. I understand that. But that is not concerning this present world. In this present world, there's coming a day of judgment on the world. And He will judge the world in righteousness. What that means is there will be no one that will stand with excuse and get out of the judgment of God. He will judge the world in righteousness. Paul said, by that man whom he had before ordained that he should be the Savior of the world. He will judge the world based on their doings with this man called Christ. Pilate brought him before the multitude and he asked the question of a lifetime. What wilt thou that I should do then with this man called Christ? And every man, woman, boy, or girl that's ever fallen under conviction and been brought to their self and the light of the gospel shown in their heart has been brought face to face with the question of what will they do with this man called Christ? And the old preacher said, and it's still right today, that sin won't send anyone to hell. Being a drunkard won't send you to hell. Being a drug addict won't send anybody to hell. Being a liar or a thief won't send anybody to hell. But it's the fact of the matter of their relationship or lack thereof with the Lord. No, they say God won't send anybody to hell. Oh yes, He will. He will judge the world in righteousness. We've lived in a day in this present world, and that's part of the deception, that they won't preach about the doom that's coming. They won't preach about judgment. But when Paul stood that day before Agrippa, the Bible said he reasoned with him of judgment to come, of temperance and righteousness and judgment to come. And it trembled him on the inside. And we need to preach it again. That this present world will be judged. But if we're not careful, I want to get where my heart began to be stirred last night. And I don't know if it'll stir you at all. I hope it does. Because it encouraged my heart. And the fact that if we're not careful, we'll get so caught up in the present world. And I try not to take a lot of time, but we do need to understand about the days we're living in and about the world we're in. But if we're not careful, we'll get hung up on the present world and we'll forget that two little word in front of it that is addressed to us in this present world. It was said in Sunday school this morning, and I'll say it again. The Word of God says we're in the world, but we're not of the world. The Bible said that Jesus told Pilate that day when he reasoned with him about the truth and about being a king. Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight for me. But he said, my kingdom's not of this world. And so if you're here this morning and you're saved, You're not of this world, but we are in this world. And I'm glad in the midst of a world that's in darkness, and in the midst of a world that's headed for doom and destruction, and in the midst of a world that's so deceived that they'll deny the one God that can get them out of the mess they're in, I'm glad there's still the ability to walk with God and have a relationship with Him in this present world. What did Paul say here to Timothy and Titus about what we are to do, about what we have access to, about what should be going on in us in this present world? I have three things on my heart and I want to give them to you and I'm done. I want to say in this present world, in the midst of all the darkness and all the deception and all the doom and all the gloom, I'm glad there's still a remnant of people that are able to learn something about grace. I'm glad I'm still this morning. I don't know how you feel, but I ain't figured it all out yet. I'm still learning about the grace of God. And Paul said it was the grace of God that is teaching us. I'm glad there's still something to learn for us about God's amazing grace. The old writer said there's grace for every need. And there's some needs along the journey that I've not had yet and I've not experienced yet. But something down inside me that says even in this present world, when I get to that place, there'll be grace for that need too. Paul, we think about him as probably one of the greatest preachers that ever walked on the face of the earth. But even he learned more about the grace of God when he had that thorn in the flesh. He said, because of all the revelations and all the things that God had showed me, lest I should be exalted in my flesh, he said, there was given me a thorn. And I asked the Lord three times to take it away. But Paul learned that God's grace is sufficient. You say God's grace is teaching us? Well, oh, John Newton said it was grace that taught my heart to fear. And I'm glad grace didn't leave us there. But I'm glad we learned about the same grace that could teach our heart to fear, that could bring us under condemnation. You say that didn't have anything to do with grace. Oh, yes, it did. It was the grace of God that He even opened your eyes to your condition. The Bible said, no, I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Bible said in Hebrews 11 that Noah moved with fear, prepared an ark under the saving of His house. And that grace that taught our heart to fear. When we learned that as a sinner, that we were without the grace of God, and that judgment was over us, and that we were aliens and strangers, and that we were enemies against God, I'm glad that same grace that opened our eyes to our condition, the writer said, was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my tears relieved. I'm glad this morning that I have learned something of the grace of God. I want to say this morning that I'm still learning of God's grace. Oh, I said last night, and it may not do anything for you. I'm praying it does, but it's working in me. And I said last night, and it kept ringing in my heart. Grace, grace, God's grace. That I don't know how many know the song. I know all about all the words, but none of them else would come. Except grace, grace, God's grace. The reason I'm here this morning's grace. The reason you're here this morning's grace. Paul said, I am what I am. By the grace of God. It's by His grace I'm not in hell. It's by His grace I'm saved. It's by His grace I've been called to preach. It's by His grace I'm here in this church. It's by His grace you're here. It's by His grace we've seen what we've seen. I'm still learning about the grace of God. I don't know. Some days I feel like I get too personal, but if the Lord puts it on my heart, I'm just going to say it. But I sat there last night and I got word this week, and I'm not trying to get real personal, but I feel like I ought to say something about it. I got word this week that a dear lady that I used to pastor several years ago went on to meet the Lord. And I knew she had had some health complications and a lot of things. And I knew, I mean, as much as anybody could know, I knew she was ready to meet God. She always had a smile on her face. She was an asset to the church. She was a blessing to the church and a blessing to my family. I didn't know all that went on. She was 57 years old. And she died and met the Lord. And I got to reading last night, and it got stirring in my heart. And Jacob was sitting on the porch with me, and I tried not to let it look like it was affecting me. But it told me what she died of. And the same thing she died of, that's what nearly took my mama out of here. And I thought, Lord, I love them. And I pray for your grace for them. But I know it's by your grace that my mama's sitting at the house this morning with another chance to do what she knows she needs to do with you. I'm glad for grace this morning. And it don't matter this morning if you've been saved for 2 weeks or for 25 years. You can't tell me you figured out everything about the grace of God. That nobody's ever experienced it all. That nobody's ever seen it all. That no writer's ever been able to tell it all. I'm glad there's still something in this present world to learn about the grace of God. Sometimes I think we look at all our hard times and our bad circumstances and situations, and we get to whining, and I'm not being mean this morning, I'm just preaching, okay? And we get to whining, all of us, and complaining about our hard times. But when we look at it right, and I know it's hard for our flesh, but something in me is saying it's just another opportunity, or just another teaching lesson about the grace of God, all them hard times we go through, or to let us know more about God's grace. There's something to learn about His grace even in this present world. When nobody else, and in reality, when all the world is spurning the grace of God and pushing Him away and have not been a recipient, I pray that before they meet God, they become a recipient of the grace of God. For by grace are they saved through faith, and that not of themselves, and not of us, not of man, lest anyone should boast. It's not about us, it's about grace. While the world's spurning the grace of God, we have the opportunity to learn more about it in this present world. You know why the old timers, why they could shout and carry on in the house of God when the cupboards were bare and their children, they didn't know whether the crops were going to come in and they'd have food to feed their children, and they didn't have 2 cents to rub together, and they didn't have new clothes or new shoes to wear, and some of them were barefoot, and they didn't have fine automobiles to drive, and some of them walked 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 miles to church. And the reason they could shout is that they were a recipient and they were learning about the grace of God. There's some things you've faced that maybe I've not faced yet, but I'm glad that you can stand and say that you know that there's grace for that. I thought about this one song, and I'm sorry, I know I talk a lot about songs, but it's just how I'm wired. But I thought one writer said there's grace to cross the river and grace to face forever, and there'll be new grace when it's my time to go. I'm telling you this morning, there is grace for every need. And we can learn more about it even in this present world. Ain't it amazing that in the midst of all them things that I talked about, in the midst of the doom and the gloom, that there's still a God that cares enough about a people that are saved. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews that even at this present time, there is still a remnant. I'm glad there's a remnant of people God still cares about and is teaching us about His grace. But then I thought, Paul said, in this present world, the grace of God is teaching us. And so in this present world, there's something to learn about God's grace. But then the Lord spoke to my heart and He said, there's a life worth living, even in this present world. Oh, I don't know what it does for you, but it does something in me to know that there's a life that's worth living, even in this present world. When we look around and we're not the only ones, and I've been there. As a matter of fact, if I'm to be honest, even with everything that went on in the meeting, and I'm not downplaying anything, this is just how our flesh is. Last Sunday I went home and I said, Lord, I'm not doing any good. I mean, nobody's getting anything. They need somebody better than me. And I had one of them experiences like Elijah where I said, I'd be better if you just come on and get me. We all have those experiences. But the Lord spoke to me last night. And He said, son, there's a life worth living, even in these last days. And it's been mentioned for the last two Sundays in Sunday school about living that surrendered life, that abundant life. And I'm not talking about what the charismatic movement and all these well-known authors want to talk about. I'm talking about being filled with the Spirit of God. It's a life worth living. Jesus said, I'm come that my sheep might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus didn't come to save us. Now, I want you to hear me well this morning. I don't know if all my theology is right and my grammar's right, but I know what I've got right this morning. He didn't come to save us for us just to live any old life and eat through. But He came to give us an abundant life filled with joy and peace and contentment and happiness and the fruit of the Spirit and the abundance of the power of God. And there is a life worth living in this present world. When the world says that's out of date, it's still worth living. When the religious crowd says we're in the last days, it can't be so, it's still worth living in this present world. We can still come to the house of God and experience the power of God. We can still go to our prayer place. And I pray you have one. And if you don't have one in your state, you ought to get one. It'll change your life. And to know that there is a life worth living. That we don't have to get up on Monday morning and dread the week ahead. And I know that there are circumstances that come in our life that make some days and weeks harder than others. But I'm glad that if you're living that life, it don't mean all your troubles go away. It don't mean all your problems disappear. And you'll never have another worry or never have another dread. But it's like old Job when he sat in sackcloth and ashes and his wife said, just curse God and die. He said, you speak like a foolish woman. The Lord hath given and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You say, what does that have to do with me? Well, Job's saying, well, all them years ago, what I'm trying to say this morning in my feeble way, Job said, just go on and leave me alone. I know it looks bad. I know it looks dark. I know it looks hopeless. But there's a life still worth living. He said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. He said, He knoweth the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, I'll come forth as gold. Job told his friends, I said, can you not see the hand of God's in all this? And we can go to work when everything around us is falling apart. And our co-workers can look at us and know maybe what we're going through on the outside and wonder why in the world that we can still smile and sing and shout. And we can let them know that it may look dark to you, but the hand of God's in all this. And as the Lord said them a few days ago to my heart that I'm still hanging on to, everything's going to be all right. I think that's what Job was telling his wife. I think he was saying, you may not understand it. You may want to leave me. You may want to go away. You may want to die. Our children are gone. Our possessions are gone. Everything we've got's gone. I'm sitting here with balls up in my head to my foot. But he said, it's going to be all right. And I want to say, in this present world, it's still going to be all right. There's still a life worth living. And if none of that done anything for you, I hope it does. But if it don't, there's one more. It should. And if it don't, I'd probably check up on whether I had the goods or not. But Paul said, we're in this present world. There's a grace that's teaching us that we're to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and we're to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. There's something to learn of grace. There's a life worth living. But the next verse he said, look in for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to say there ain't just something to learn. There ain't just some way to live. But thank God there's something to look for in this present world. We're not without hope. It just got to stirring in me again last night. Two words God put in my heart. And He said, we're not without hope and we're not without help. We may be living in a present world, but He's a very present help in time of trouble. He still is this morning. Old preacher, it's mentioned hundreds of times in the Old Testament, and at least over 100 in the book of Psalms, the statement that the Lord is. We're gathered here this morning because the Lord is. I'm not preaching that the Lord was. He never was. He is. And the old preacher said, the Lord is. He always has been is. He still is and always will be is. That's what He is. He just is. And it's because of Him that we're here and we have help and hope. You say, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. There's help for you. There's help for you. I know I've said it 100 times, but it keeps coming in my heart to say again that the old black preacher, Brother S.M. Lockridge, has said about Him being a very present help in trouble. Men in your deepest, darkest valley and hour of despair, He's able to get to you quicker than right now. I don't know if that sinks in to any of us, but when we go to our prayer place, and we're in that valley of despair, and we feel like everything's gone, and we got family trouble, or we got people that are hurting, and we can't get all the pieces are broke, and we had no idea how to put them together, and if we could, if we did, we didn't have the power to do so. And if it registers in you, I don't know if it does. But the fact that He's a very present, when you go to your prayer place and you cry, Lord, He's already there. Not that we have to wait for Him to hear and then Him come to where we are. But the reality is, as you bend your knee or wherever it is that you pray, if you sit in a chair or stand, it really don't matter. We put too much emphasis anyway on how we go about it. But just do it. But when you bend your knee to pray, as you're bending, as you bow your head, before the first word ever comes out, He's already there. Not is He already there. It's not just that He's already there. He already knows and He's already got it worked out what you need and how He's going to do it. Ain't that amazing? That when you bow and they got all these supercomputers in the world and they can put some formula or algorithm in there and in a matter of seconds it can spit it out and tell what somebody is or what's going to be. Or they think so anyway. But it don't even take God seconds. Before He ever created the world, He knew about you today. I'm going to say this morning, I'm not saying there ain't, but if there was nothing else in this world to live for, there's something to look for. There is something to live for. There is a life worth living. But even if there wasn't, that'd be enough to shout on this morning. There's a hope to look for. Paul did not say hoping for that hope, as if to insinuate that it may come or may not. But he said, we're looking for that blessed hope, because it's a sure promise that it will come to pass one day. And I know people say Grandma said it and Grandpa said it and it ain't happened yet. But Peter said the Lord's not slack concerning His promise to some men. Count slackness, but it's long-suffering to us, for not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the reality is that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day, and it makes no difference what the date is. He's coming. And in this present world, there's something to look for. It just seemed like the Lord just kept drilling it in me to tell you this morning, in my feeble way, that you have help and you have hope even in this present world. Even in the midst when the world is looking to Washington for hope, and I'm going to tell you, and I'm not getting on politics, but I'm preaching on reality, that there's no help on either side in Washington. And the world thinks, and many people of God that I know, and I'm not faulting anybody or falling out with anybody, but I've heard the statement, if we can make it to November, everything's going to be all right. But there's no guarantee that it'll get any better in November. But I'm going to promise you something. One day after a while, be it today, tomorrow, or 10 years down the road, everything is going to be all right for the people of God. You say, preacher, you're saying it may get worse. Well, here's what Paul said. If we're in this present world, there are sufferings of this present time. But he said they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. That's what he said. I reckon, he said, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying just hang on. It'll be all right after a while. Even in this present world. Oh, I want to quit this morning, but I don't know how. Even in this present world, there's a life worth living. If all our meager fare, if it all just becomes nothing, and I'm not here to sing sad stories or anything like that, and people fall out with songs, but they need to understand where the writer was coming from. And I'm not belittling what God's done. God's blessed us. But if we could go back to singing again, if it comes to the place where we start singing that our clothes may be lacking in style, and if you come sit at our table, may the supply you'd find, but then sing the next line. Oh, it's not what you see that makes me a king. To me, I'm everything. All that I need. All that I need. Treasures unseen. Amen. Yes, I was coming up the road yesterday. Brother Jacob had come to help me do some stuff at the house. I was riding up the road and I asked him if he had ever heard a song. He said, no, I don't think so, and I ain't no singer, and I'm not going to sing this morning. But many of you have heard it, maybe some of you haven't. But this is what it said. Men strive for the wealth of this wide, wicked world. They seek after honor and fame, so lavishly sporting their diamonds and pearls, they put the dear Savior to shame. All this world around us is boasting on who they are and what they have, But they have no idea. Brother Corey said, I'd rather live in heaven than to own all earth's silver and gold.
Yeah.
I'd rather know Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Than to have the diamonds of a palace to hold. I'd rather, I mean this with all in my heart, I'd rather be a beggar and live in a shack by the side of the road than to have all this world has to offer and have no guarantee of heaven one day. I'm telling you this morning, it may come to that. We may lose everything this world holds dear, but as long as we have Him, everything's all right. We belittle them old songs because they sound so simple and we think we sound like fools singing them, but we ought to sing them again. Where we sing, I can call Jesus anytime. He's always on the line. There ain't nobody. It don't matter from the president in the White House. There's nobody who can be everywhere at once. But I know a man who can. And I'm going to tell you, if the president, and I'm not belittling anybody or picking on anybody, but I'm just talking about his position of authority. If he could be everywhere at once, there's no guarantee I could get to him. But I'm going to tell you, I can go above his head anytime I want to. I've got access. And if that don't stir in your heart, I don't know what will. I'm glad. And when I got done studying and the Lord got done speaking to me, in my heart, this is what I said. I said, Lord, I'm glad just to be living in this present world. I know I don't belong here and I've got a long in the dough, but because of everything I have access to, I'm just glad to be here and to be in the present world while all the world now want them to get saved. But if they don't, want to affect my standing with God in the least. I know a lot of bad things probably happened overnight that none of us know about. I'm going to tell you, I got up this morning, come in the house of God. I didn't know whether the Lord was going to meet with us or not. I felt like maybe He would. Kind of got off to a slow start, but He's a-working in my heart. I trust He's a-working in yours. And we can have this even in this present world. I don't know how you feel about it. I'm just glad to be here. I'm glad to be saved. Glad to belong to Him, even in the midst of this present world, even when things don't add up and things don't make sense. I'm glad I know Him, and I'm glad He knows me. Oh, the writer said, and I don't know who wrote it or how spiritual they were, but it does something to my heart. I don't know that old song they said, should there come a day when I can't remember Him, He will remember me. I'm glad this morning to know, not just that I know Him, but that He knows me. Hey, some going to stand before Him one day. And they're going to think that because they know about Him, that that changes their status or their quality of life. But the Lord's going to look at them and say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. And I don't know what all I'll hear. I don't know. I've been a miserable failure as a lot of things. I've been a failure as a preacher and a pastor and a father and a husband and a Christian. I've been a miserable failure for a lot of things. And I want to hear well done. I may not hear it, but I want to. But there's one thing about it. I don't have to fear hearing. And that's the part from me. I never knew you. And if you don't have that assurance this morning, nothing else matters. I'm telling you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else matters. It don't matter if the church knows you, if the preacher knows you, if your husband knows you, your wife knows you, the church up the road, down the road, the Baptist, whatever profession you made. It don't matter about any of that. It matters whether He knows you. I'm glad this morning to know despite all my faults and failures, He knows me. And I know Him. And I think I'll just be content in this present world till He comes after me. Oh, I got a longing to go. Oh, I do have a longing to go. But I'm not going to spend all my days here until He comes to get me griping and complaining, because I'll just be content with what I have in this present world. I'm glad this morning to know that there is a life worth living, that there is more to learn of Him. That old song says, more about Jesus I would know. And I want to.
Yes,
and I can this morning. And so can you. You don't have to stay where you are. There's more for you.
Yes.
As we stand all over the house, I'm done this morning. I've done what I'm supposed to do. Is it on your